ธรรมะทอล์คบายหลวงพ่อปราโมทปราโมทโช24 December 2017 The Van team, are you still here? The Chiang Mai team, okay, you're still here. And the Krabi team, just one person. Those taking the course, please raise your hands.Practicing Dhamma is not difficult. First, you need to have the right understanding. Know the rules of Dhamma practice. And have the right conduct, physically and vocally. And then the mental discipline. The Noble Eightfold Path is within these three categories. First is right understanding. This right understanding is Samma Titti. Believe in Dhamma or volition and its consequences.This is knowing that our action will have direct effect on us. Like if we practice Dhamma, striving to eradicate suffering, the ultimate result will be end of suffering. And if we try to fill ourselves with worldly desires, the result will be more suffering. We have to know the law of Dhamma. We have to know the noble truth.Know that suffering is this body and mind, the five aggregates. We want to eradicate suffering, but actually it is to do away with this body and mind, the five aggregates, which we cannot rid because it is the end product. We have to eradicate its cause. Suffering is Rupa Nama, or this body and mind of ours.Our duty towards suffering is to know it as it is, aware of it as often as possible, until the mind becomes wary and releases its attachment. Once the cause of suffering is severed, craving will be eradicated. To make this body and mind happy, away from sorrow, is impossible because it is suffering. It is the cause of suffering.Only when suffering is fully realized will craving be eradicated. Without craving, there will be no suffering, and Nibbana will be realized. Nibbana is the condition which is free from suffering. To attain Nibbana, we have to diligently follow the Noble Eightfold Path. First is Samma Titti, to have the correct principles.By this I mean believing in the law of Dhamma. To practice with intention to depart from this world, we have to study the Noble Truth. Therefore, right understanding is subdivided into two groups. First is about the Dhamma or volition. Second is about the Noble Truth. Like to know that all actions have consequences.This is the law of Dhamma. Then we have to have right thinking. Once we have right view, we then have to have right thinking. First is to think of ways to depart from this world. This means to rid of sense desires.Because the world we live in is the world of sense pleasures or the sense sphere. In the Thai language, it's called Kamalok or Kamapum. We have to have the right mindset to leave behind sense desires. Because if we still search for worldly pleasures, enjoy worldly sights, sounds, smell, taste, touches,If we still live in the world, we will be attached to it. This is the law of Dhamma. If we want the world, we will acquire the world. If we want Dhamma, we will acquire Dhamma. This is the law of Karma. Some of you are so preoccupied with worldly pleasures and still complain that you have practiced Dhamma for so many years but are still far from enlightenment. This is because the thinking is still wrong. Right thinking is to think of ways to leave the world, leave sensual pleasures. Some people have constant resentment towards others. If Nibbana is the goal, then stop the resentment. Be kind and have compassion. Don't take advantage of other people or animals. To think of exploiting others is called visiṅha vitakka, or cruel thought. If we have right thinking, know the law of Karma, know we have to know suffering in order to reach its cause, and become enlightened by walking the path. And have right thinking, wanting to leave sensual pleasures and not be preoccupied with sensual pleasures. Have no vengeance towards others. Have compassion towards all. Think well of others and don't exploit them. Don't even think of exploiting them. This is the first part, right thinking. Once the thinking is right and the view is right, then let's look at action and speech. Let's examine ourselves. Is our speech good? Sammā vācā means to have right speech, which means no lying, no instigating. To instigate is to provoke others into disagreement. To lie, to instigate, to curse, to babble. This includes babbling with our fingers. These days, we do it all the time through social media, like LINE and Facebook. This babbling, a type of false speech, it taints the mind, making it distracted. Like if we talk all day, this makes the mind muddled. Even without lying, the mind becomes muddled if we talk all the time. I don't like people who talk too much. Some people submit such lengthy homeworks to me, like telling the Ramayana story or some other saga. It's futile, too much talking. Do speak only when necessary. Speaking requires a lot of energy and distracts the mind. So speak when necessary. Do not lie or provoke an argument. Do not muddle or swear. This is right speech. After right speech comes right action. Right action is called sammākammanta. What is right action? Refrain from taking lives. Observe moral codes by not harming other people or animals, which includes not harming the self. Committing suicide is wrong because we are a living being. To kill is to take life. Abortion is to take life. It is a serious sin, killing a human being. Killing an innocent being, this is sinful. So, observe the precepts. Do not steal. This is right action. Do not take things belonging to others. Earn an honest living. And abstain from sexual misconduct. Fooling around is unacceptable. If you indulge in sensual pleasures, how can you invoke on a journey to leave the world? Trapped in worldly pleasures, there's only one way, which is downward, because we keep fulfilling our desires. So we must have right view, right speech, and right action. Right action is the same as observing the first, second, and third precepts. Next is making a living. Choose a right profession. This means do not exploit the self or others. Some jobs are self-exploiting, while others exploit other people. So abstain from them. Make an honest living. There is no need to become a millionaire. Just enough to live comfortably. To be rich in tamma wealth, noble treasures, is far more important. Worldly riches can be consumed only in one lifetime, and that is all. But noble treasures will be with us through the next realm. So, right living is also important. These are all about how to live our lives, to speak, to act, to earn a living. These are all the Noble Eightfold Path. If we overlook these points, we will not succeed in our practice. So, if our profession is not righteous, quit if you can. Like if you have a fish or a shrimp farm, this is exploitation. If you raise chicken or cows for meat, it's exploitation. Quit if you can. Choose a new profession. You may not be as rich, but your life will be bright and prosperous. You will be content and advance in tamma practice. If you have special abilities like clairaudience or clairvoyance, or have knowledge of the decease and rebirth of beings, know where this person will go after death, you will not do wrong. You will respect the law of karma, afraid and guilty of wrongdoing. Fear of consequences of bad deeds. Have moral shame and moral fear. But since we don't have these special abilities to foresee, we have to rely on the Buddha's teachings. He is all-knowing. He understood the workings of the world and set up guidelines for us. So, let us live a purified life. Let us speak well, act well, live well. If we fail any of these, we will not be able to progress in our practice. We will keep struggling along, going nowhere. Especially if we have wrong view, we will be misguided, which is the worst case. Therefore, right view is first on the list. We must have the right view, understand the law of karma, understand the noble truth, understand that suffering is matter and mind. Once we understand all this thoroughly, craving will be extinguished, nibbana will be realized, and we will be enlightened. From right view, next is about livelihood. Have right speech, have right action by observing the first, second, and third precepts. Have right living. Once our foundation is good, next is the inner working. Contemplation is work of the mind. To contemplate, we must have right effort, right awareness, and right concentration. Right effort is to understand the purpose of the tamma practice, that it is to end suffering, completely extinguish suffering. Know that suffering arises because of defilements. Therefore, our task is to practice tamma, to do away with defilements and accumulate wholesomeness. Once wholesomeness is perfected, awareness, concentration, and wisdom will also be perfected. Factors of enlightenment will be perfected. So keep being mindful and cultivate wisdom, and the seven factors of enlightenment will be perfected. Wisdom will be gained, and Nibbana realized. Therefore, the purpose of our doing mindfulness practice is to cultivate the seven factors of enlightenment. What are the seven factors of enlightenment? Sati, or mindfulness, truth investigation, or vipassana meditation, effort, zest, tranquility or calmness of mind, concentration, and equanimity. Ending at equanimity, like what I always say, the mind has to be stable and equanimous. The mind that is stable and equanimous is the mind with perfect factors of enlightenment. Once perfected, the mind will have equanimity towards everything. Wisdom will arise and the mind will be liberated. Wisdom is thoroughly knowing the noble truth. Liberation is the mind free from clinging to matter and mind, reaching Nibbana. This is our ultimate goal. The path is there. The steps are all laid out. If the Buddha just said Nibbana is good, but didn't show us the way, then Nibbana would be just a utopia, unrealistic. But Nibbana of the Buddha can actually be realized. He showed us the way. It is the Noble Eightfold Path that I relay to you all. Have right thinking, right speech, right action, right livelihood. Strive to lessen defilements and accumulate wholesomeness. This is called right effort. How can unwholesome deeds be minimized and wholesome deeds maximized? With mindfulness. Learn the foundations of mindfulness. Constantly be mindful of our body and mind. When mindful, unwholesomeness will fall away automatically. When mindful, wholesomeness will flourish automatically. Therefore, try to be aware of the body and mind. I often say that Dhamma practice starts with awareness. So, begin your practice with awareness. Be aware of your body, be aware of your mind. This is right mindfulness. It is the four foundations of mindfulness. Therefore, when we do mindfulness practice, which is mental exercise, we start from being mindful of our body and mind. When there is awareness, the present bad action will stop. No new one will arise. When there is awareness, good action will arise. We will become accustomed to wholesomeness, and so will the mind. Good actions will arise more frequently and more readily. An example is trying to wake up early to give alms to monks. At first, every morning we have to force ourselves to get up early to give alms. But eventually, we'll become accustomed to it. The mind becomes accustomed to making merits, and waking up early becomes easy. Someone once asked whether between good and bad actions, which is easier to do? Most would answer that doing good is harder than doing bad. But the Buddha never said that. He said that for a good person, doing good is easier than doing bad. And for a bad person, doing bad is easier than doing good. It's all up to each individual. It's the law of karma. Whatever we accumulate, we will become like that. So be aware often, and the mind will become accustomed to it. Aware of the body and mind often, and mindfulness will become automatic. Wholesomeness will accumulate, and unwholesomeness dissipated. Right awareness and right speech will be developed. Next is to develop concentration, or the stable mind. I always tell you the mind has to have a base and have stability. I always stress about awareness of the self, as this is right awareness. And have the mind be stable, be the knower, awakened, and joyful. The mind becomes just an observer. This is the mind with right concentration, the mind with a home base. Sometimes I say to you, the mind is out of its base. This is the unstable mind. It wanders off, sometimes swaying here and there. It's muddled. Sometimes the mind becomes fixed, like at the breath, at the abdomen, at the feet or the hands, or when chanting putto and lost in thinking. These are the unstable mind, the mind with no concentration or samadhi. So we must practice until the mind has samadhi at its base and stable. So there are two exercises for the mind. First is to have awareness, possibly all the time or as often as we can. Second is to have stability, to become the knower, the observer. And once the mind is stable, becomes just the knower, the observer, be aware of the physical and mental factors. And when happiness or aversion arises, be aware of the feelings. At first, be aware of whatever arises with a stable mind. And once stable, sometimes the mind likes or dislikes it, like happiness arises and the mind likes it, or suffering arises and the mind hates it, wholesomeness arises and the mind likes it, and wholesomeness arises and the mind dislikes it. Whatever arises, be it liking or disliking, be aware of the emotions, aware of the present emotion, and forget about what happened prior to it. Once we are aware of the liking and disliking, we will become neutral, and the mind will become equanimous. That's why I use the phrase to be aware of the body and mind as they really are, with a stable and neutral mind. This phrase, be aware of body and mind as they really are, with a stable and neutral mind, covers right awareness and right concentration. And if we are diligent and be aware often, it will also cover right effort. Therefore, these are the main tasks for the mind. They are right effort, right awareness, and right concentration. Right effort is the willfulness in ridding defilements. Be aware often and wholesomeness will advance. Right awareness is being aware of this body and mind, not forgetting our own body and mind. Right concentration is for the mind to be stable at its base and be just an observer. Finally, the mind will become neutral towards all objects of consciousness. So, if we all walk this path, I'm stressing the Noble Eightfold Path today. If we walk the Noble Eightfold Path, in the end, we will be enlightened. Actually, the Noble Eightfold Path we are practicing is just the preliminary step towards the path called Buppapagama. Buppa is preliminary. Buppapagama is the preliminary step, which will lead to the Noble Path. Therefore, we practice with the goal that the actual Noble Path will one day be realized. Once our morality, concentration, and wisdom are perfected, like when we are aware of matter and mind as they truly are, with a stable and neutral mind, we will eventually gain right understanding that is totally genuine. Right understanding that is transcendental. Preliminary right understanding is to know about Kamma and its cause and effects, about the concept of the Noble Path. This right understanding is still mundane. But once we start being aware with good foundations of mindfulness, concentration, and aware often, often means effort. Right effort is to be diligent and keep practicing. And the seven factors of enlightenment will be fulfilled. The Noble Eightfold Path will be perfected. Wisdom and enlightenment will consummate. And we will gain genuine right view. Right view, right intention, right speech, right action, right living, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. All these are noble and supramundane. They will arise automatically. What we have been doing, practicing mindfulness through the body, speech, and mind, is just the preliminary path called Buppapakamak. So do differentiate between your practice and the noble path. Practicing a lot is walking the preliminary path. Buppa means preliminary. Paka means part, which is the preliminary part of the path. We keep practicing a lot, as I instruct you to. Have right thinking, right speech, right action, right living, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. Once we have perfected all these qualities, genuine wisdom will arise. If we are mindful of our body and mind as they really are, with a stable and neutral mind, eventually we will know whatever arises will eventually pass away. We will gain wisdom that all preconditioned reality will arise and fall away. All things arise from a cause. When there's a cause, they will arise. Once the cause is gone, they will fall away. Nothing is under our control. It's the phrase I often say, that when there's a cause, it will arise, and once the cause is finished, it will fall away. When we truly comprehend this, which is the knowledge of the Supreme Enterer, the mind will know the truth that there is no permanent self, no such thing as us. This us is just a thought process, a word, a rhetoric. Does an arahant really have a self? No, but he uses the word atama to denote the self. This self is just a rhetoric, a medium to convey a meaning. In reality, he knows there is no self. From a stream enterer, there is no more self. We, however, still believe there is a self inside this body. This self dictates all our actions and our thinking, because we are still just ordinary people. So if we are mindful of our body and mind as they truly are, with a stable and natural mind, with the right preliminary conditions, right thinking, right action physically and verbally, right living, and constantly mindful of the body and mind as they truly are, with a stable and neutral mind, in the end, we will gain wisdom. Genuine right understanding will arise. Right mental attitude, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration, all these will arise simultaneously. And when enlightenment happens, it happens within one mind moment. It happens when the mind enters absorption concentration. For us, when we practice, aware of the body and mind, when the mind is scattered, we concentrate on the breath or iterate putto, we can't even do deep meditation. But once our faculties are strengthened with perfected moral conduct, concentration, and wisdom, the mind will automatically enter absorption concentration. This is the attainment concentration of the noble path. And when this attainment concentration of the noble path occurs, the remaining seven factors of the noble path will combine together. The seven factors will combine with right concentration in this single mind moment. Therefore, do not underestimate concentration meditation. Keep practicing. Some people cannot concentrate or they fix their attention on the abdomen. These are all focusing outward and are wrong. They will never reach enlightenment in years or lives to come. The best bet would be to become mindless Brahman. Like doing walking meditation day in, day out and become stressed. When the stress reaches over limit, the mind just shuts down, turning you into a mindless Brahman. Don't assume that Nibbana is mindless. During enlightenment, the mind is present and it's called enlightened mind or Makkajit and the fruition mind or Polajit. Sometimes they say the mind just shuts down and all feelings cease, no more body and mind. That is in fact the mindless Brahman. It is the Asaniya Satta Pum. During attainment, the enlightened mind is present. And during fruition, the fruition mind is present. You must have heard of the four mak and four pun. And if combined with absorption or jhana, there will be 20 makajit and 20 polajit. Altogether, there are 40 of these special mind types. So it's not that there's no mind. The mind is present. In brief, 4 makkhajit and 4 polajit, and in detail, 20 makkhajit and 20 polajit. There is no need to go into details, though. They will arise automatically when we are mindful of our body and mind as they truly are, with a stable and neutral mind, given the right conditions I talked about earlier. The culmination is when the mind enters fixed concentration and the mind gains wisdom while in this state. At this point of attainment concentration, the mind will be triggered for only 2 to 3 mind moments. The mind will yield and comply, just aware of something arising, just know, just see, without judging, without distraction. It will yield and comply to whatever arises, without any expectations. This occurs for only 2 to 3 mind moments. Then the mind will stop awareness and review itself. This revision is called Kodara Puyan. It is when the mind crosses over from an ordinary person, but not yet become a noble one. Then the noble path arises for just one moment at each level. When this happens, the Noble Eightfold Path is complete and balanced. This is all automatic. Nobody can make this noble process happen. Remember this. The noble process happens automatically when morality, concentration, and wisdom are perfected. This is the teaching of the Buddha, so don't go search for ways to make it happen. Enlightenment will not occur just by wanting it to happen. But if you keep being mindful of the body and mind as they truly are, with a stable and neutral mind, and with correct conditions in living your lives, then enlightenment and its fruition will occur consecutively. Once enlightenment occurs, it will fall away, followed by the noble fruition. The mind will experience voidness. This is Mahasunyata, voidness of Nibbana. It is the aura of the mind. It is bright, free, and joyous. Nibbana is the ultimate joy, ultimate happiness. The mind is free, bright, and joyous. Nibbana is not the mind. It is a reality. The mind arises and falls away, but Nibbana does not arise or fall away. The mind that experiences Nibbana or the mind of the Arahant can handle Nibbana. When an Arahant reminisces of Nibbana, he doesn't need to make the mind enter that state. He just gives attention to it and Nibbana's there, because it is already there with the mind. So keep practicing, and one day you may receive this miraculous gift, more precious than all things on earth. Earthly treasures are all temporal. We enjoy them just in this life and have to pass them on to others. But noble treasure will be with us in this life and in future lives, until we can break loose from this cycle of rebirth. At that point, you will know that life will end, existence will end, cultivation and Dhamma practice is complete. In the Tripitaka, the scripture says that life has ended, the holy life and practice has ended. The task is complete. There's no more task for purification and extinction. These words are so powerful because the mind has been enlightened. So, go and practice for yourselves. And don't just focus on the mind. Action and thinking also have to be right. If too preoccupied with worldly matters, then don't even talk about enlightenment. It will not happen. Missing any part of the path, like acting immorally, sly, instigating, babbling, and you will not succeed. So go train yourselves. If you have a business that exploits other people, or other animal, or yourself, then try to quit it. Change jobs if you can. But if you still can't, then be aware that what you're doing is not right. And reason with yourself that one day you will have to change. Doing wrong without knowing the resulting sin is detrimental. Doing wrong and knowing that it is wrong, the sin is less detrimental. This is the law of nature, which is rather odd. Doing wrong and knowing it is wrong should have less consequences. He compares this to when you see coal that is red hot. Nowadays, it's hard to see burning coal because we use gas or electricity. Do you know it? In the old days, we use it as fuel for cooking. When we light it, it becomes red hot. If we know that this is red hot coal and are forced to hold it, unwilling to hold it but forced to, one who knows and one who doesn't will hold the coal differently. The one that knows it's not good to hold it will hold it as light as he can, while the one who doesn't know will grab on, resulting in more burn. It's the same with doing wrong. If you unwillingly have to do wrong, like forced to hold hot coal, an example is a husband who has a shrimp farm, and the wife frees all the shrimps into the river, making merit. The husband will certainly beat her up, right? So if you still have to do a shrimp farm, then reason wisely that you're raising these shrimps and not having intention to kill them. Know that to kill is wrong. Know what is right or wrong. And your sin will be less. Less than those ignorant of the consequences. Go and eat. Monks, please. Today we completed the Noble Eightfold Path. Someone can transcribe this talk and send to the foundation for printing. The board members, please, this way.